I'm HRN's Communication Director, Kat Johnson, with a preview of the next episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. We're exploring the future of eating animals, and we're going beyond typical meat sources.
If you look at the length of human history, we've been eating insects a lot longer than we haven't been in the United States and Western Europe.
We're looking at unusual ways to purchase meat.
People are like, really? Why would I want to buy that out of a machine?
And we introduce you to Frank Rees, a poultry farmer whose traditional farming methods are featured in a new documentary.
I'm a fourth generation farmer in Kansas, and I focus basically all on standard bred poultry and have my whole life.
He's kind of the last one standing with these rarefied breeds that are so important for if we're going to eat chicken and turkey into the future. He's essential. He's a national treasure.
Listen to Meat and Three this week to better understand the history and the future of meat. Available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you daydreaming about culinary school again? Make this the year your dreams become reality with Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school. Study classic French culinary techniques in cuisine and pâtisserie as part of their exclusive 9-month Le Grand Diplôme and graduate into a world of opportunity. You also can extend your course of studies to include culinary management and dedicated internships. Le Cordon Bleu has locations in more than 20 countries around the world and located within some of the best food cities out there: London, Ottawa, Madrid, Bangkok, Tokyo, and of course, the spiritual home of cuisine and Le Cordon Bleu, Paris. Turning your daydreams into reality is closer than ever. Visit cordonbleu.edu for more and let your culinary adventure begin. Bomb Squad. I'm your host, Carrie Diamond, and you're listening to Radio Cherry Bomb. Each week, we talk to the most interesting women in the world of food and bring the pages of Cherry Bomb magazine to life. I'm coming to you today from Cherry Bomb headquarters in Brooklyn. Speaking of which, if you're in Brooklyn this Saturday, June 30th, come by our prop sale. It will take place from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. All proceeds will benefit the ACLU, and everything will be $10 or less. Come on by and say hello. We'll be at the corner of Carroll Street and Smith Street in Carroll Gardens, right near the F and G trains. Check our Instagram for more details. Thank you to today's sponsor, Le Cordon Bleu. If you're daydreaming about culinary school, maybe it's time to say bonjour to Le Cordon Bleu. Learn more about the legendary culinary school's most prestigious qualification, Le Grand Diplôme, by visiting cordonbleu.edu. Today's guests are Laurel Gallucci and Claire Thomas, the founders of Sweet Laurel, the baking company that specializes in grain-free, dairy-free, and refined sugar-free products. The two call Sweet Laurel a whole foods baking company, meaning no filler, no weird stuff. Their company came to be after Laurel was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease and went on a strict elimination diet. She started experimenting with baked goods and shared them with her friend Claire, the cook, writer, and photographer behind the Kitschy Kitchen website. The two decided to launch a business, and Sweet Laurel was born. Their first cookbook came out this spring, and it features straightforward recipes for delicious treats, including their original chocolate cake recipe. Many of their creations are built around a foundation of 5 ingredients: almond flour, coconut oil, maple syrup, organic eggs, and pink Himalayan salt. Claire and Laurel really represent this new wave in baking that I find absolutely fascinating, and I think you will too. Enjoy my conversation with Laurel and Claire, which we recorded earlier this year when they were in town for the Jubilee Conference.
So, now, Laurel, I know you had an autoimmune disease, which is what led to Sweet Laurel, but did you know about that when you two became friends?
You know, I was diagnosed shortly after. We became friends, and a few years later, I started, my body started to show symptoms. And
do
I
you
went
mind sharing what those
oh,
symptoms?
Not at all. It was mainly at first, it was a steady energy decline. And I also noticed I had pretty severe digestive issues that I thought were normal. You know, I just wasn't digesting food properly. And I slowly but surely not only lost energy, but I started losing a lot of weight. And I was at my OBGYN's office, and he literally was like, "You have a goiter." And I was like, "Really?" I had no idea. And it was the inflammation of my thyroid. And that's when he said, "I'm going to check your antibodies. I'm going to check everything." And I had an ultrasound done to my thyroid. And it was confirmed that I had Hashimoto's disease. And so for me, being someone who like never took any medicine my entire life, was like somewhat healthy, I thought, having to be put on hormones and take medicine every single day was really frightening. I was like, what's wrong with me? But the Hashimoto's, it kind of snuck up on me from behind and, you know, slowly started showing symptoms over time.
How devastating. What were you doing for a living at the time?
I was a school teacher. So I taught elementary school, and I loved my job. I like love education, and that's really why Sweet Laurel has that foundation in education, and we teach private classes and workshops. But, I kind of thought that my energy decline was because I was really busy and working really hard every day. I didn't really think it was because of something else. And
it was really crazy because an energy decline sounds so like everyone's been exhausted before, but Laurel couldn't make it upstairs.
Yeah.
She had to quit her job. Like everything that Laurel was and that really formed her identity as a person was taken away from her. Her being an educator, she was a Pilates instructor. Like she's a really athletic person. And so watching my friend, I was so scared at one point because of the weight loss. It was 40 pounds in like 2 months. Mm-hmm. Like, and Laurel's she's always been super tall and elegant, but she didn't have 40 pounds to spare like that.
Yeah, it was scary that things like walking upstairs became hard for me because like Claire said, you know, I would like run on the beach every day and I wasn't able to do that anymore.
So how did you start to piece things back together and reclaim your health and your life?
So I was treated medically with synthetic hormones for a while, and for me, they read as Band-Aid fixes. I didn't really see change happen. You know, I still wasn't able to digest food properly. I still didn't have energy. And I still was very tired every day. So it was, in a way, these hormones weren't really helping at all. And after about 2 years of no progress, and like Claire said, I ended up having to quit my job, which I loved doing. I literally, like my entire family and my husband literally like prodded me away from it. I didn't want to do it. I basically happened to run into a family friend who was a medical doctor turned functional medicine doctor who saw me from across the room and was like, "What is wrong with you?" Like she could tell I wasn't me. And she sat me down and I talked to her about how I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease. I wasn't sure what was going on. And she said to me, "You need to remove all grains, all legumes, all refined sugar, all dairy from your diet, and you're going to see a huge difference." And she said, "This means no gluten ever, like ever, ever, and no chocolate cake." She's like, you know, just listing things. And I was like very shocked, but also like, cool, I can try that. You know, I had tried a lot of different things. And she asked me to give it a year, just commit to being completely grain-free, refined sugar-free, dairy-free for a year. And she's like, "I promise you, you're going to see a huge difference." And meanwhile, at this time, you know, like I was very much so fed up with having no energy, having a digestive system that didn't work, and, you know, also a reproductive system that wasn't working. I hadn't ovulated in years. And she partnered with me and helped me get to the root of a lot of these issues with the diet piece, but also she did like a crazy gut healing thing with me where I, you know, introduced a lot of fermented foods and taking away grains and refined sugar and dairy decreased the inflammation in my body, which helped healing occur faster. So like it was a real like whole body approach to healing. And it was during the summer I met her. I started to recipe test cakes for various birthday parties and things with ingredients that I could eat. So like I have a huge family and I was the birthday cake maker in the family. And it was usually a flour, powdered sugar situation. And so having to like make birthday cakes was like a thing because I wasn't using wheat, dairy, you know, powdered sugar or anything like that. So I started to work with ingredients like almond flour and coconut oil and 100% maple syrup. And I came up with some recipes. And that was where Claire came in because I brought a cake to her house for a housewarming party. And I told her, you know, I made this chocolate cake. It's really good. And she was like, cool. And she's like, wow, this is delicious. What's in it? And that's when I broke the news to her. Well, I was like, it's like five ingredients, really. And, you know, almond flour. And she's like, I'm sorry, what? Like, how is this possible? And so
were you intimidated because she is Kitschy Kitchen? Well, after all,
honestly, Claire has always been this way in my mind, but like everything she does, in my opinion, is amazing and gold. You know, and so to have her like something that I made, I was pleasantly surprised. But she was like very stoked on it being gluten-free and dairy-free and refined sugar-free. And she was like, Laurel, we're sharing this with other people.
Yeah. I feel so bad because her family and husband were like, you need to relax.
You can't like, take a year
off. You can't work. Like, you need to like focus on your body. And I'm like, you know, it'd be amazing. Let's start a bakery where you bake for all of West LA. And I think that's a great idea.
It was hilarious. But to be fair, I was getting better.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So like it was like a thing I actually could manage to do.
But also, I mean, I'd say on top of it, what was so amazing to me, my whole background's actually in advertising. My whole family works in advertising. And so I love brands. I love this idea of how do you tell a story through an object? How do you connect people? How do you get them excited about something that they are incorporating into their lives? I think that whole thing's really fascinating. And with Laurel, I saw my beautiful friend who I always refer to as the mermaid because she is a mermaid. Like, my mom asks me all the time, she's like, where do you find these Disney princess friends of yours? And I'm like, I don't know. Like on top of a rock in the middle of the ocean. And so to me, it's like, okay, here's my beautiful mermaid friend with this delicious cake that is just delicious, full stop. And in LA at the time, this is like 3 years ago, like a little over 3 years ago. And I feel like the only gluten-free options in LA was back during like the xanthan gum, potato starch, brown rice starch, but still tons of sugar kind of phase of gluten-free baking, where it was really funny. It'd be like gluten-free and vegan, but then filled with like nonsense and it tasted like bricks. And for me, I'm like a carb snob. So I'm really about texture and I don't feel like there's an excuse for bad food ever. You should always be able to have something delicious. And this cake was delicious. I ate the entire thing, which, I mean, to be fair, if it's like delicious cake, I'm eating the entire thing. And I was so amazed by the texture because that's always been a thing with gluten-free baking. I feel like has been the falling point is it'll be like pizza, but with like hard quotations around it. And you're like, this isn't pizza. Like, you know, and same with cake. I'm like, this isn't cake. It tastes kind of like a spongy muffin or something. And this cake had a really delicate crumb. It was really moist and tender. It wasn't overly sweet. It didn't cloy on the palate. It was just, and it felt good to eat it. It was enjoyable to eat. And I didn't have that, you know, child on Halloween kind of moment afterwards of feeling like, oh gosh, you know, like the cake hangover.
I'm so excited by this because I feel like you are part of this baking revolution that is taking place right now where it's, you know, it used to be, like you mentioned in the book, white flour, white sugar, butter.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of story, end of story. And now it's just this whole other universe and a whole other universe of ingredients that you're using. How much recipe testing, not just for this book, but in terms of getting like your core products, how much recipe testing did you have to do?
To be honest, when we started Sweet Laurel, we were really just sharing recipes that I was making at home. Like, I literally, when I was put on this diet, my husband really partnered with me and he was like, okay, anything we make, it's going to be grain-free, refined sugar-free, dairy-free. We're not going to have like all the other ingredients in the house. So I like wasn't, you know, making two dinners every night. I literally was just like feeding myself. It was like, if I want to eat crackers, I guess we need to figure out a recipe for crackers type thing. So it was really kind of like recipe testing by living. I was just like nourishing and feeding myself. And in the process, I had this repertoire of recipes. And that's when Claire and I really started to really like, hey, let's have a blog. Yeah. Let's have a workshop where we teach people how to make almond milk and cookies mm-hmm. and, you know, things like that. So that's how we kind of got rolling with that.
Yeah, because the cakes have always been kind of the hallmark of Sweet Laurel. These beautiful layer cakes, they're very celebratory. They're very body positive. And it's this idea that you should only have to have one cake. You should not have to have the real cake and then like the sad isolated cake. Because with Laurel going out to dinner and watching her not be able to order off the menu, that's so isolating and just nonsense, to be honest. Like, she should be able to socialize with friends and celebrate her birthday in a normal fashion.
And sad isolated cake right? sounds like a sad New Yorker cartoon.
It's
right.
Oh, yeah.
You see it right, totally. In the spotlight.
Exactly. And so all of these other fabulous recipes, yeah, they get shared on the blog and they got shared through our workshops. But when we sat down to write the cookbook, it was funny. It was one of our New York trips. It was like our first New York trip. And we sat down and just kind of literally wrote down everything we loved eating as kids. And like, what did your mom make you? And so we just started from this place of nostalgia and indulgence and like, oh my gosh, like my mom has the best coffee cake. And Laurel's whole family's Greek. So it's like, okay, what's like our version of like a baklava? Like mm-hmm. we had to put in food that we didn't want it to feel like sad hippie food. You know, it needed to be beautiful, indulgent, and the food people actually want to eat, and create things that weren't these sad photocopy of a photocopy versions of it, but these really celebratory, delicious versions that everybody could enjoy and very inclusive.
Now, you've got the recipe for the chocolate cake that changed everything. Mm-hmm. Is that the cake that we've been talking about?
Yeah. So that's the cake I brought to Claire. And she was like, wow, 5 ingredients? Cool.
What are the 5 ingredients?
So that cake, it literally uses our 5 core ingredients plus cacao. So our 5 core ingredients are almond flour, coconut oil, sweetened with 100% maple syrup, organic eggs, and Himalayan pink salt. And, you know, we're both firm believers in cacao. There's lots of chocolate in this book, I'm sure you've seen. And like, it's funny. Anytime someone asks me my favorite recipe, it's like the chocolatiest thing it's in like, every chapter.
Yeah, it's the top 3 chocolate. Right? You're like, well, the flourless chocolate
like
cake.
The double and chocolate chip muffins are really good.
Did I read that you nibble on cacao yes, in the morning instead 100%. Of coffee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where she
That's
gets
like
her energy.
What I had for breakfast this morning. I love the, there's like a natural, it's like a version of caffeine called theobromine in cacao that has like a long, like steady energy supply. So like I nibble on that for energy and eat it all the time.
Yeah, it's always like, in her purse.
It was actually my baby's first food that he stole out of my hand at like 7 months.
Did I also read that you eat lemons like apples?
Yeah, I like lemons. Meyer lemons.
Oh, Meyer especially. Lemons.
Yes. Well, like I'll eat a regular lemon too, but like love Meyer lemons.
Okay, she got in trouble with her doctor because
you've
got to
walk me through that. So you'll eat a lemon, just like bite into it?
I mean, I won't like, I won't eat the peel. But yeah, I love lemons and I do a lot of lemon water and, you know, all that stuff. But
wait, she got in trouble with her dentist because I drink a lot of lemon water.
Oh, yeah. I would cut the wedges, right? And just, you know, do like the kid with the orange at soccer, like have it in my teeth. And, you know, I have 2 dentists in my family who would always get mad at me. And then my actual dentist, I was sitting there and he was like, do you eat a lot of lemons? And I was like, actually, yeah. And I guess it was like showing like acidic residue on my teeth. And he was like, you need to stop doing that. Use a straw. And I was like, okay.
Wow. Okay. A paper straw.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
plastic straws
anymore.
No plastic
anymore. Straws. Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about more of the recipes and more of the ingredients, because mm-hmm. I'm so fascinated by the ingredients.
Yeah.
There really are no fillers, none of those wacky things you were talking
exactly.
about. How do things stay fresh and stay for a little while, because you do have a business where you make cakes for people and you don't want them to be stale a day or two later.
Our joke is that Nick, Laurel's husband, is the he tests the limit of how long things will last, because he will find like snickerdoodles under his desk like 4 months later.
And he'll take one for the team and try it.
Yeah. And I think the reason why, well, Laurel can get into this as well, but the thing that I love so much about our recipes is the fact that they're so simple and the chemistry of them actually work together perfectly. And that's how we're able to have such a delicate crumb, great texture, and why they last for so long. The almond flour has a lot of natural fat and protein in it. And so because of that, it just stays moist. If you can, like Laurel and I, we have breakfast cake is like a thing. It's like an inside joke for the company, because all we do is eat cake for breakfast. Because you can leave it sitting out and it'll still be delicious the next day. It has not dried out. And, you know, the maple syrup as well, using 100% maple syrup. What we love about that is its high cooking temperature. Obviously, it can keep all of its amazing minerals and nutritional quality, but still cook at a really high temperature. And it replicates sugar. You can actually make like toffee out of it. You know, it hardens really well. So I think those core ingredients, they work really well, but they're also super readily available. And because of all of that moisture, the food just lasts.
And you use dates a lot. Mm-hmm. Talk about dates. I love your date paste.
Oh, yes. So we actually used to sell date paste at Sweet Laurel because we love using it so much. But it's basically just pitted dates ground up in like a food processor. And it adds like this very caramelly flavor, obviously, but also a lot of structure to our baked goods. And then, you know, in things like our date almond milk, it's like it actually will help. Like, we have coffee shops that, like, love using almond milk with dates, because when you froth it, it adds to that steamability and, like, latte art.
You'll actually get the microfoam.
And, yeah, it's, like, a beautiful sweetener that's high in fiber, but also, you know, full of good sweetness.
Yeah. And what's crazy, it's the biggest thing, like the first time we ever did a workshop, the first question was, why doesn't this taste like pancakes? Because everyone assumes that because there's maple syrup in it or dates, that it's going to taste like that. And what we've been kind of just so pleasantly, honestly, I was surprised by, because I totally anticipated, oh, we can only do chocolate things because then that like masks the flavor or something. But the vanilla cake is only maple syrup, and that completely doesn't taste like maple syrup. And the dates as well, it just adds almost the same quality that brown sugar adds, but I'd say it's a little more delicate as well. So we use like dates, ground dates in our flourless chocolate cake, for instance. You don't know that there's dates in it. It's literally there because it has a great flavor, but also is a fabulous binder.
You have to make that recipe.
It's like, so good.
It's my favorite.
Okay. Okay.
It's like,
because it's chocolate.
A lot of them. It's like that one I legitimately like have had in the morning with coffee, because it's like the perfect pairing.
So you also talk about this coconut powdered sugar, and so many of the so many of the recipes I love, of course, there's powdered sugar in them. So what is coconut powdered sugar?
So for our coconut powdered sugar, because we just like the look of it. Like, we grew up with powdered sugar on everything, just because, I don't know,
kids. From a food styling perspective.
Yeah, and like kids beautiful. Of the 90s. I don't know, like everything had powdered sugar on it. And so for us, it was taking arrowroot, which is one of the, it kind of is our version of cornstarch. It works very similarly. And then just pulsing that with desiccated coconut until you get a really, really fine powder. And so it has a nice, like, gentle sweetness, but it works the same way as powdered sugar for decoration. So it looks really beautiful.
But not for things like buttercream frosting.
No, no, no.
No, no, no. For that, our secret ingredient is coconut manna, which, like, is some wacky, like, that was one that I was blown away by what coconut manna does.
It's so funny because, like, we have cakes that look like we have, like, fondant on them because it's coconut butter. And it's a beautiful, like, it actually acts like a frosting in the sense that it'll, like, frost a full cake and, like, look really pretty, and you can pipe it and do fun things with it. So
now explain how coconut manna or coconut butter comes together.
Well, the coconut manna process it's basically like coconut completely like pressed down. And it's, from what I understand, they take like dried desiccated coconut and make it into a cream. So like a nut butter process of sorts. And we use it strictly for frosting. We make our coconut butter cream with it, and we'll use it to make sandwich cookies and things like that. And what's really fun about it is it's this gorgeous white color, but you can also add beets for a bright pink, or matcha for a green, or turmeric for yellow. And so, like, we've had a lot of fun just using our versions of food coloring on this, like, it's almost like a buttercream where you can, like, make it anything.
And it reacts like a roux. That's what I was so, like, confused by when I – because I'm not kidding. You take some of this out, like a scoop of it, put it in a pan, and you start adding liquid to it, and it reacts the exact same way a roux does. It clings to everything, and you get a very thick, creamy liquid. So for us, it's been brilliant as for thickening sauces. And, for instance, like with our lemon glaze that we put over the bun cake, which is one of my That one's so good. But, you know, it's like similar to a royal icing. You want to get that royal icing look. So we use the coconut butter, and it just works like a charm. It's really impressive as an ingredient.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the cost of these ingredients, because that is definitely one downside.
Yeah.
Even though this is so modern and really such an important direction in the food world, these ingredients are still pretty expensive. How do you see the prices of these coming down because they're becoming more and more popular, or is it just a fact right now that these things are more expensive?
Yeah.
And if you want to bake this way, you just need to deal with it.
Right. Even since we've started Sweet Laurel, we've seen the price of these ingredients go down. But since they are such nutrient-dense, whole foods-based ingredients, they're not ultra-refined. It's really hard to find a way to get them at a cheaper price point. But, you know, the cool thing about the recipes that we've seen happen, or the ingredients that we've seen happen, is that it's available almost everywhere now. Like, you don't have to just shop on Amazon or Whole Foods to get it. You can go to, like, Costco and Walmart and find coconut oil and pink salt and almond flour. And to me, that's, like, very comforting because it's more accessible now. It's not, like, a strictly Whole Foods purchase. Well,
and then on top of that, when we started our bakery, the price point of our cake to purchase is very expensive, because the truth is, like, we're using the best ingredients, and they're expensive ingredients to boot. And that's one of the big reasons why we started with an education portion. We didn't want our brand to be only for people who could afford it. We wanted it to be something that was really inclusive. And we started the blog kind of, like, I think within weeks of starting Sweet Laurel as a, you know, event baking company. And we've always been really transparent about our recipes. Like, you could find the recipe to the chocolate cake we sell, like, within a month of us launching, which sounds kind of counterintuitive, because most, you know, it's like trade secrets. Like, you wouldn't want to share that. But for us, it really is about educating people and helping people be able to make this in their own home, because we're both home cooks. We want to cook better for our families. And it's really important that people have the tools to do that, and that they don't just have to shop at expensive places buying expensive cake. Like, everyone should be able to do this if they, you know, if they can.
Yeah. Doesn't it make you so angry, though, how cheap, like, shitty processed things are?
Yeah. Well, and then when, like, that product is sold for a very inflated amount, we're like, really? Like, come on now. Like, your markup is insane.
There's so much about our food ways that just need to change. And I think that's the problem, is, like, to me, it's a logistical problem. It's like how famine is now, in the modern era, it's a political issue. It's actually not a environmental issue. So it's about resources and logistics. And with the food we're looking at, the whole ingredients, and, you know, preferably farmed organically, it really is about access and how can we figure out to make these things more accessible and also have people demand it. Because the truth is, if people are asking for it, if people are buying it, business will find a way to make it more affordable, easier to get, and just the systems surrounding them will be a lot better.
Yeah. And it's been very interesting from an ingredient sourcing perspective, like dealing with buying these ingredients at a massive, you know, quantity scale. Trying to find, you know, companies or products that are, like, sourced well, quote unquote, as opposed to counterparts. And, like, one that was really a big learning curve for me personally, it was when we were sourcing cacao, because it's, like, very similar to coffee in that, you know, you want to get the fair trade version. And it's hard to get stuff that hasn't been really processed. And we ended up going directly through a farm and working like directly with the source, which was, you know, comforting to know that like we're not, you know, we're using like a fair trade modality mm-hmm. and like going directly to the source. But also when you're trying to find a whole food ingredient, sometimes you have to dig. And, you know, we educated ourselves a lot about our different ingredients, and we've slowly but surely found, you know, good sources for them. And
do you ever write about that on the blog? Because that's fascinating.
We do feature that. Like, for instance, when we do workshops, a lot of times we'll use our partners to discuss that. So, for instance, like we make all of our own vanilla extract, which is such a funny thing because it's in every baking recipe, but you can't buy a grain-free or starch-free version of it because of just the alcoholic base. It's typically made, it's typically a vodka or whiskey base. So we make ours out of tequila. So we did a whole workshop where we, you know, brought in one of our tequila partners, and we're talking about like how tequila is made and, you know, why it's what we use. We love our chocolate partners as well, because it's the bean to bar method and being able to explain that. And we've done another workshop, which is probably one of my favorites, which was cookies and milk, where one of our suppliers, because just to give a little bit of history too, Sweet Laurel started during the big California drought. So almonds were impossibly expensive. So we would partner with local juice companies that would throw away their almond meal and use that in our recipes, which is why in the cookbook you'll find there's a recipe about like what to do with almond meal and how to convert it into almond flour. So we did workshops with our, you know, almond milk companies talking about like how they produce it and like what the ethos is behind it.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine it's the same with coconuts and dates, and mm-hmm. you can probably just go through every ingredient.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you only have 5 cord ones, it actually makes it pretty easy to do.
Yeah. Well, I would love to talk more about that at another time, but I'd love for you to write blog posts about how to just more mindfully source, because I think it's something all of us are mm-hmm. thinking about. You're going to have a brick and mortar location soon.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh, it's so
very exciting.
We're opening in the Palisades Village, which is actually where Laurel and I went to grade school in the Palisades, and Laurel had soccer in the Palisades. So we grew up.
It's like neighborhood next door.
Totally. Yeah, it actually is like one neighborhood over. And so for us, the Palisades is home. And we were so excited when we got tapped to do this, because we knew we wanted to do a store, but we couldn't have anticipated when or how. And it's literally the perfect location for us. It is within like a 2-mile radius. There's 5 grade schools. And we didn't set out to be kind of a mom-centric brand, but mothers and children are such a huge part of our client base. So it's really exciting to be part of a small neighborhood that has such a strong community. Like, this is the best part. Like, if the Palisadian Post, the local newspaper, doesn't like you, like, you're not in. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to, like, luckily we have a really good relationship with the Palisadian Post, but that's a big part of it. So
it's a really beautiful community, and we're so excited to be opening there.
And the goal for the store, it's going to be small, like a little jewel box, and hopefully it's going to be somewhere like Mayfair meets Malibu. So beautiful spring flowers, kind of old world quality, because Laurel and I are both, like I said, we're like 85-year-old ladies who like to like play bridge and drink tea. So it's going to very much have that vibe to it. But we're so thrilled about the coffee program, because the idea is it's a cake shop with coffee and tea. We're partnering with Cafe Lux, mm-hmm. which Laurel and I, that was like our first kind of go-to friend hangout spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Founding friendship dates were definitely at Cafe Lux.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked about your aesthetic yet. I'm sure your aesthetic will be on full display at the shop. But anybody who looks at your Instagram account or looks at the cookbook will immediately see you just have this really wonderful aesthetic. How did it develop?
From the beginning, it was really specific. And the thing that personally I'm so proud about with Sweet Laurel is how strategic we've been about it, where we've been very clear about our vision for what Sweet Laurel is and have really stuck to it specifically and not gone off that path, which for me, I actually really struggle with, because I'm like that person who wants to do everything at once. And with Sweet Laurel from the beginning, it was, okay, it's naked cakes, it's flowers. And in the space, like, this was when paleo and CrossFit was like full, like just full on. Everything in that space was super masculine. very kind of workout, like, or cleanse oriented. There was nothing that felt feminine, celebratory, and just simply beautiful. And Laurel and I love beautiful things. Like, we collect, like, we're both these kind of, we love collecting things that are just like pretty, like
vintage teacups.
Yeah, vintage teacups. And like, we go on like garden tours and like, we'll go look at roses. For us, having the cake itself be this beautiful object was so important, because I actually was really inspired by my siblings, my sister Amanda and her husband Pat, both launched their companies kind of virally. So we sort of did the reverse. We did the same thing with Sweet Laurel, where most bakeries start with a brick and mortar, and then they become popular, and then they do a cookbook, and then maybe they open a second brick and mortar. For us, we started as kind of a bakery influencer brand, where we started as a Instagram account that then did cakes for sort of small events around town, grew a following, grew the blog, and then did a cookbook, and then are doing the store. And that all is really on the back of Laurel's inspiring, beautiful story, having really strong outreach through workshops and experiences to our fans, and then having really beautiful, very feminine visuals that people love. They just, they connect with, they want to share it, they want to engage in it.
Claire, your advertising background is showing.
Oh, dude, right.
She's like so good.
All right, my final question. How are you feeling?
Oh, well, I'm feeling great. It's literally a miracle, because throughout this healing journey with Sweet Laurel and, you know, staying a dedicated grain-free, refined sugar-free, dairy-free eater, you know, it's like really changed my lifestyle. And things that like were seemingly impossible, like getting pregnant, happened miraculously. And like, I had a beautiful baby a little over a year ago, and I'm feeling great postpartum. And what's really cool is my autoimmune disease is actually in remission, and I'm not showing symptoms of, you know, fatigue and digestive issues and all that. I'm pretty sure I've healed through food.
It's been amazing to watch. Laurel's work ethic and energy is just astonishing. And then for me, it was when she told me, this was like, obviously over a year ago, but when she told me she had started ovulating again, I burst into tears on the street. And then a month later, you were like, I'm pregnant. And I was like, what? And just like, my favorite thing you've said about Nico is how he's the cherry on top for you.
Yeah,
because it wasn't about getting pregnant, but what it shows is that your body systems are back. Mm-hmm. Like, you can support that. And that's amazing. And getting to be, I gave birth to my son 5 months after Laurel gave birth to Nico. And we both were super pregnant while writing the cookbook. And just getting to watch Laurel take the lead as like being a mom, and kind of like, honestly, just like learning from her along the way has been really
it's
amazing.
It's been really fun to do with Claire.
Oh, well, you two are the cherry on top for us.
Aww.
So you're really an inspiration. Everyone needs to check out Sweet Laurel, recipes for whole food, grain-free desserts, and Laurel Gallucci and Claire Thomas. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
You two are the bomb.
Oh. Thanks.
That's it for today's show. Thank you to Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school, for supporting Radio Cherry Bomb. And thank you to the band Tra La La for our theme song, and to our engineer, Vitor Hirsch. The new issue of Cherry Bomb magazine is almost here. Did you see our cover reveal on Instagram? If not, I won't ruin the surprise. Take a look and see who's on our cover. You can pre-order the issue via cherrybomb.com, or better yet, you can subscribe. Don't forget to come by our prop sale this Saturday if you are in Brooklyn. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for listening, everybody. You're the bomb.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Radio Cherry Bomb is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.